Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." What does our Lord Jesus do immediately after his resurrection in the fullness of his Easter joy? That night, he appears in the midst of his disciples and he speaks to them these words, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Our risen Lord gives his church on earth a gift that staggers the imagination. He gives his church the authority to forgive and retain sin. Does this gift from Jesus belong only to those first apostles? No, Jesus tells those first apostles to make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What Jesus teaches and gives belongs not just to the first apostles, but to the whole church, the church of all ages. For this reason, the church today continues to baptize, to celebrate his supper, and to forgive and retain sin. This gift from Jesus we also call confession. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution. That is, forgiveness from the pastor as if from God himself, firmly believing it, that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Do you want forgiveness from heaven? Heaven has set up shop on earth. When pastors, the called ministers of Christ, deal with us by his divine command, this is just as valid and certain as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. What does this mean? It means this single astonishing fact. Jesus has put heaven's forgiveness on human lips. Jesus knows something about forgiveness. That very first Easter, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples, or maybe ex-disciples at that very moment. These were the very men who betrayed him in the garden and left him to suffer and die alone. That very first Easter, though the doors were locked, he appeared in their midst. To these who betrayed him, to these who left him to die, he said, "Peace be with you." A greater absolution could not be given. He showed them then his hands and his side. This was no ghost, no apparition. Jesus was risen in his body, and he now stood in their midst. "Peace be with you," he said again. "As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you." Then he breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." By our Lord's words and actions, then, we see that the true and most important work of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit speaks God's forgiveness through a human pastor's mouth. Yes, the Holy Spirit both forgives sins and the Holy Spirit withholds forgiveness. Who or when are sins not to be forgiven, people? Unrepentant sinners. That is, those who do not believe in Jesus or those who are not sorry for their sins. These are not to be forgiven so long as they do not repent. To these, the church with one voice must say, "Your sins are retained." Is it mean to retain sins? Is it mean to excommunicate someone? Well, let me ask you this. Is it mean that a fire alarm screams in the middle of the night and wakes you up because there's a fire? Oh, how rude, fire alarm. Go away. Let me sleep until I burn. This is exactly what retaining sins and excommunication are. They are a fire alarm screaming a warning that the flames are about to engulf you. To withhold forgiveness and retain sins is just as much a work of the Holy Spirit as forgiveness is. The Holy Spirit forgives the sins of all who repent and confess their sins, but He withholds forgiveness and excommunicates those who do not. And this He does through His church on earth. Now, this is important. When the church and her pastors act in accordance with God's word, then they are doing the work of the Holy Spirit. When they act in a way that is not in accordance with God's word, then any retaining of sins or excommunication they might do is invalid. In fact, when Luther himself was excommunicated, he thought it was rather a badge of honor. When the church and her pastors act in accordance with God's word, when they withhold forgiveness and excommunicate an unrepentant person, this is not only a work of the Holy Spirit, this is also a work of profound and pastoral love. Withholding forgiveness and excommunicating someone is done so that the unrepentant person might come back to their senses. Wake up. Flee the burning building. Rejoin us here in the church. Yes, we retain sins and excommunicate in service to the gospel, in service to the unrepentant soul, so that they might repent and be brought back into full forgiveness and full restoration inside the church. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. This is the work that the Holy Spirit does through His church and pastors. Have you, like those first disciples, sinned against your Lord? Do you want Him to come to you and say, "Peace"? Do you want His forgiveness? Jesus sends His pastors to you, and He puts His forgiveness on their lips. What the pastor says is just as valid as if Christ Himself were saying it to you. Some people, especially within the church, find this teaching of Jesus the most offensive of all. For them, it is offensive that Jesus would give such great authority to the church on earth. They think that Jesus should deal with them directly, not through the church and sinful pastors. For them, it is very unspiritual for a sinful human pastor to stand in front of them and say, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins." But you see, this is the very thing that our Lord Jesus Himself commands. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. Jesus means this for the comfort of hurting souls. Those who stubbornly oppose this word of Jesus declare his word and his gift to be a lie. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Heaven and earth will pass away before these words pass away. These words stand against those who oppose them. And these words stand for all who need them. For with these words, Jesus gives repentant sinners a priceless gift. Heaven's forgiveness for you here on earth. God's forgiveness spoken to you through a pastor. We must not let Satan snatch these words or gift of Jesus away from us. The very same forgiveness our crucified Lord won for us on the cross is the very same forgiveness that our resurrected Lord gives to you. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you, the scriptures say. As Christians, we are called to live lives of repentance, to acknowledge our sin, even every day, and confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What sins should we confess? The Catechism gives us this advice. Consider your place in life. Consider it according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father or mother? A son or daughter? A husband? Wife? Worker? Have you failed to keep God's commandments? Have you failed in your earthly vocations? In your relationships with one another? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone with your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Jesus has indeed died for you. But that doesn't mean that your heart is necessarily clean. After David sinned with Bathsheba, he prayed, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." But he also prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." What David is praying for is not only forgiveness, but also a clean heart and a right spirit. And with David, we pray this too. Jesus has indeed died for you, but that doesn't mean that sin is now harmless. Sin still defiles your conscience, dirties your heart, unrights your spirit. Just as your body becomes sick or injured, your soul also becomes sick and injured. Just as your body needs medicine and treatment, so also your soul needs medicine and treatment. It's a very sad thing when a Christian no longer realizes that he or she even has a soul, let alone what care that soul needs. How often do you go to the doctor for your body? How often do you go to the pastor for your soul? If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us, the scriptures say, from all unrighteousness. Now don't let these words pass you by. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. What we need is a present tense word and deed from God. Because the human soul doesn't stay the same. Life is messy. Life is bad. We fall into sin. And this sin is constantly harming our souls, making them sick and injured. What we need is the medicine of God's Word. We need new medicine so that we can go forth with clean hearts, with right spirits, and in the fullness of the Easter joy that Christ has won for us. These are the very things that Jesus does for you through confession and absolution, through His church and pastors. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. This then is the Easter gift that our risen Lord gives to you. Through the mouth of a pastor, He speaks His word of forgiveness. This mighty word of Jesus not only releases you from your sin, but this mighty word of Jesus also cleanses your heart and renews a right spirit within you. His word of forgiveness is the treatment and medicine that your soul needs. Christ's real, present tense forgiveness, Christ's pastoral care, individually for you, this is the great gift that He gives. And where does He give this gift to you? Well, here at Faith, at your local congregation, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. and Thursday mornings at 6:30 a.m. after work, before work. We hold open hours for confession and absolution for individual pastoral care. Or simply call us and tell us. We'll set up an appointment for pastoral care with you. If you've never confessed, if you've never received individual pastoral care, or if it's been years, well, tell us that, and we'll help you, and we'll care for you. This is the gift that Christ has given to you. Take advantage. Christ's real present tense forgiveness, forgiveness that cleanses your heart and puts a right spirit within you. This is also the number one reason to come to church every week. The main reason for coming to church isn't to learn something new. It's great if you do learn something new. That's a wonderful gift of God. But it's not the main thing. The main reason for coming to church is not to feel a deep emotion. Again, it's great if you do. It's a wonderful gift of God. But that's not the main thing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the reason to come to church. Here, Christ again, just as He did on that first Easter, Christ again stands in the midst of sinners. And to us, He says, "Peace be with you." He directs our attention to His hands, to His side, to the wounds by which He has bought us, to those wounds that have won for us unconditional and everlasting forgiveness. He is faithful. He is just. You have a risen Easter Lord who lives to care for your soul, your entire life, and to care for your soul through the church and her pastors. And on the last day, this very same risen Lord will raise you in your body and in your soul just as He is risen in His. In the name of Jesus, amen.